Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everybody to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you look in your bulletins, we have opportunities for you this week I'd like to make note of. Immediately following the worship service this morning, we'll have Sunday school classes for all ages. Wednesday, 6:30, midweek prayer and Bible study over the book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. On Thursday, we'll have our Crusaders Club, and Thursday evening will be the Crusaders Club for the teens. There's an offering basket on the back table for the building fund. If you look down there, you'll notice that we're making some headway on that. We've got $70,000 in the building fund, and we need approximately $130,000 to break ground, so we're getting close on that. 16 weeks until our community event, so please pray and ask how you can help in that area. And also, VBS is going to be coming up sooner than you think, June 16th through the 20th. Make a note of that and start praying about how you can help out with that ministry as well. Church officer list and bulletin board and in the insert there. Use that sheet as a reminder to pray for those individuals throughout the year. I know we all appreciate that. Copies of the annual report and the new phone directories are also on the back table if you'd like to have one. We're in need of volunteers in the church nursery. On the bulletin board, there's a sign-up sheet for that. Please throw in on that. And the Crusaders K through 6 grade are starting to run low on snacks. There's some suggestions down there on what you could contribute. And on the teen side, we're doing pretty good. We got a lot of pop there. Thank you very much for responding to that. I'm thinking we may not need any more pop for the rest of the year, but you know, it just depends on how thirsty they are, I suppose. I may be back up here eating crow. Next Sunday, January 26th, we'll also have a installation service for our newly elected elder, Conrad Funk. Memory verse for this week comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the King.
Good morning. There's a note missing somewhere. Somebody's got a note somewhere that should be read. If it makes its way up here, I'll read it. It's okay. We're glad you're here. If you want more than one directory back there, take it. There are plenty. You might want one for the car, one for the truck, one for the bedroom, one for the bathroom. You can pray anywhere. And so if you want more than one, please feel free to take it. The annual reports are back here too. Thank you to those who come around when there's nobody here and sweep all the snow out of the way. We appreciate that, don't we?
Yes.
Thank you for those who do that, and we're very glad for your ministry in that way. Tom mentioned that next week we're going to have a special service. We're going to officially or formally install Conrad into the office of elder. It's no small thing to be an elder. And we're going to talk, that's the whole service next week. We're going to explain it to you, talk about it and all that. And then we're going to officially install him as an elder. So we'd like for you to plan to be present, and it's okay if you spread that around and let folks know. It would be fun to fill the auditorium. And so just pray about it all week. It'll be fun, it'll be special. And we know that you'll appreciate being here. Let's bow in prayer, please, and ask God to minister to us as only He can do. Let's bow in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of a new day, for the blessing and privilege of walking with you throughout this day. Thank you because you have ministered to us already. Thank you for the blessing of fellowship and the opportunity and privilege of lifting our voice in song to you. Thank you for the great salvation that we have in Christ, and we thank you again for calling us together as a family to worship. And we pray, our Father, that you will speak to us this morning as only you can do. We are battle weary, and we need to hear from our Heavenly Father. And so we thank you for this time when we can sing and share, when we can listen to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. And we have come to meet with you, and so we pray that you will help us to stay focused, to keep our thoughts centered on you, to listen to the ministry of the Spirit of God. And Father, we do thank you for being so good to us and blessing us, not just financially, but you have blessed us far more than all we could ever ask or think in all our life. We love you and we thank you. And so we dedicate this service to you and ask thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Would all those who are able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. May God add his blessing to the reading of his words.
Some people seem to specialize in doing thoughtful deeds. Before you ask, they understand your problems and your needs. They help because they want to. They find joy in being kind and making others happy is the first thing on their minds. They make this world a better place by practicing the art of reaching out to others and by giving from the heart. Thank you so much. May you always be as happy as you make others. Our family would like to thank each and every one for the many cards, flowers, and food. We are so blessed to have a wonderful church family. May God bless you, Sue Pentland and family. And we had a great time this past Wednesday celebrating Jack's homegoing, and Jack had a ministry. What a man of God. We are privileged. And so continue to remember them in prayer, and God will use them, and as he already has. Our Heavenly Father, we turn now to the ministry of the Word of God given to us through the Spirit of God. And we pray that you would make us attentive, because what you have for us, you know we need. You understand us. You have ministered to us, and you have watched us in these past days. Many, many of these folks, Father, fight for you daily on the front line. And they stand fast in the liberty that they have been given because of their salvation in Christ. And because of their commitment to you, they are attacked by the enemy. And we thank you for the courage that they have to stand. You know our hearts, and you know our needs. So, Father, in these moments, we rest and we give ourselves to the ministry of the Spirit of God. And we would simply pray that you would encourage us and that you would strengthen and prepare us for those days that you may loan to us in the future. We ask that thy will be done now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Peter is talking to us about how we interact with people outside the family. The first part of the letter, he talked to us about how we take care of each other, and we have to learn that so that we can take care and minister to folks outside the church. Today, there is in large part in our culture and society those who ridicule and slander and condemn true Christians. To those who do such things, we are the laughingstock. We are the material for their crude and filthy jokes. And as you know, Christians are often represented as unintelligent buffoons that hold a position that is so far to the right you can't breathe, and people are criticized. if they don't think exactly the way people think they ought to think. When somebody says that they're a Christian and it's portrayed in the media or whatever, they're always made to look ridiculous. That's intentional. Satan makes that happen. The truly sad truth is that way too many Christians, true Christians, let this kind of thing happen. They almost feed it because they themselves are being afraid of being put on a hit list, of being pursued, of being persecuted, or of being ostracized by their friends, or being the brunt of this kind of thing. And we find ourselves getting caught many times when it's just us in the world warming our hands in the fire. And when somebody says, "You're one of them, aren't you?" we deny it vehemently. Now, we may not do like Peter and curse and deny it like that, but beloved, when we give in, when we don't stand true, when we laugh at crude jokes, when we are involved in the conversation of the world, when we allow them to do those things or say those things in front of us we know we're not supposed to be part of, we often are part of it, aren't we? Because it's easier than to stand apart. And Peter says, you can't do that. We may not do exactly as the Apostle Peter did when he denied Jesus. But I think when the rooster crowed, Peter's life changed forever. And now, in this section of his letter, he tells us how we are to act as proper citizens. Now, you remember last week he told us that the best way to witness is through your life. Let your life do the talking for you. And that reduces it to a minimum for you. Now he's going to say, you take that life, and this is what you look like as a proper citizen. And you'll notice that he says, if you live the right way, God will create curiosity in the lives and hearts of the ungodly and unsaved. And God will work in such a way that they come to you and they'll talk to you. He's going to say kind of that same thing now as we live our lives as citizens. The first thing that we want to consider is our practice. And our practice, according to verse 13, is to be subject. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. When we read a verse like that, we instantly see those two words that raise the hair on the back of our neck, don't we? The word subjection and the word every. Now, you remember not too long ago we learned that subjection is a result of creation and it is designed for our protection. God says, if you will submit to me, then I will be responsible for your life and your welfare. And I have the opportunity to bless you, to guide you, to minister to you as I want to. And when we do that, we fall under his protection. Listen, that doesn't mean life is a bowl of cherries. Doesn't mean you're never going to have any adversity. You will always have adversity, no matter how closely you walk with the Lord. And I'm kind of one of those twisted people that thinks the closer you walk to the Lord, the more Satan's going to try to get you to fall down. And so subjection is designed for our protection, and then we learn that every or all is God's principle for us to be able to qualify for his blessing. God will only bless us. God will only reach out to us with the extraordinary when we are completely submitted to him. Now listen carefully. Most of you in here this morning really make an effort at giving God all of your heart. You are not the kind of people who say, God, you can have everything but this. You really want God to have it all. But Satan has a way of coming to us and knowing that one tiny little area that we would say is the most difficult, is the deepest rooted sin or sin problem that we had, and we fall victim to it every now and then, don't we? And it's there, isn't it? And God says, I want that too. And you see, it's in that really, really hard part when you get down deep inside you and you're dealing with those deeply personal issues. It is then that God says, you give me that and I'll show you a power you haven't yet experienced. And sometimes it's hard to give that up, isn't it? But when we have a mind to give him all, every, God says, I will bless you. And all of us can attest to the fact that there's just a large part of our life that is already blessed by God, right? Why? Because of what you've already given him. Because you followed this principle to the limit, if you will. And so he is teaching us that this whole thing, submitting to him in every way, is the really only possible way for viable long-term success as a true Christian. So it says that we're submit ourselves to every human institution or every authority. So we've taken care of the submission and we've taken care of every. Now that just leaves the human institutions, doesn't it? Here's what you need to understand. Every human institution is flawed. You know why? It's that human thing, isn't it? All humans are flawed. So see, listen, you can't start with something flawed and through the efforts of whatever that is, expect something unflawed to be developed out of it. It won't work. The flaw will always be there. That's why nobody will ever find the perfect church. And if you happen to, join another one. Don't mess that one up. Okay? Now, you know what? Thank you for laughing at that. But let me tell you something that's as serious as a heart attack about that. When people get angry, or when people aren't satisfied, or whatever the case may be, and they say, I'll show you, I'll just go join another church. I don't like the way you do things. I'm mad at you, and I refuse to let you minister. You stepped on my toes. I'm going to go somewhere else. Okay, fine. What you need to understand is this. That's just geography. What you're doing is taking whatever it was that offended you and taking it over here, and what you're going to do is mess them up with it too. You can't run from your problems. I've looked and looked and looked because there was a time that I was kind of a fan of church hopping. And I thought, somewhere there's one for me. And you know what? The only problem was me. It's not us that has to change. It's you that has to change and understand. You don't run from your problems. You stay and work them out. Jesus said, don't you understand that I could call 12 legions of angels and get me out of this? I don't have to do this. Please, Father, please, if there's any way that I don't have to drink this cup, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Get it? Get it? I could run, but it's not going to do any good. I could try to hide, but that wouldn't do any good. So what you do is you say, I need to change. Here's a weird thought. I'll take some heat for this, but that's okay. When you have a problem or when you're angry, instead of running from the church, run to the church. And say, will you pray with me? I'm being beaten up. I'm struggling, I'm hurting. Will you pray for me? Will you walk with me through this? That's what Peter's saying. That's what he's saying right here. And he's saying that we are as citizens of the kingdom of heaven until we get to our eternal home. Listen to me, listen. We are citizens of the kingdom in this world. We're not of the world. We belong to a different kingdom. So that's why Peter started the whole letter by saying, I'm writing this to those who are strangers, to those who are of a different world. And so he says, we are subject to every human institution. Why? Because subjection is the way God designed to protect us in our daily life. Subjection and obedience and allegiance and support is God's way of showing the world that his redemption works. Now, if I say that I'm a Christian and I am not submitted to my Father in my heart, I won't be submitted where I need to be because I'm rebellious in the most fundamental relationship. There was only ever one perfect government. It was the theocracy. It was when God ruled. And you say, no, they had problems. That's right. They had problems. He didn't. He administered government perfectly. It was the people's response to the perfect government that was the problem. So we are to be subjective. We are to follow the law of the land. Now, I want to say something here. We are, as much as we can, to obey the laws of the land. Do you know where the stopping point is? It is when the law of the land violates or contradicts Scripture. And you are no longer obligated to follow the law of man. You are obligated to opt for God. Could that cost you your life? Yes. You cannot subject yourself to a law that causes you to disobey Scripture. You must, like Daniel, say, okay, so there's an edict that says we can't pray. That's not going to happen. I'm going to pray. Pray three times a day. You may have to stand with Daniel and say, I will not bow down to the king. I will not worship an idol. Could that cost you your life? Mm-hmm. Sure could. Might usher you right into the presence of the Lord. Can that be that bad? No. And you're all thinking, no, that'd be great for me. But what we think about is, but it's my family. Peter is saying you need to be subject to the laws of the land. And he says you're subject to the emperor. Or in this case, we would say we're subject to the federal government. He says you're subject to the governor or local and state governments. Until they come to the point of violating Scripture. Now listen, listen. Nowhere does Scripture ever teach that we as Christians, who are obedient Christians, have to swallow or agree with everything that comes out of the palace. But we are. We are allowing this nation to run amok. Pastor, how can you stand in front of us and say that? You know how we feel. I sure do. My question is, do your representatives and those in authority know how you feel? Or are we passively disagreeing? Or have you gone to the website, and I had it just till I wanted to say it, Defend America, I'll get it for you. My point is, have you done anything to say, I think gay marriage is wrong? It's a rhetorical question. But you see, there are Christians in this nation that are deadly silent. And all of us would say we abhor it, it is wrong. But we are intimidated to do anything. Why? Well, I don't want to get on somebody's bad side. I don't want to be on a hit list. I don't want them to come poking around after me. They're not the ones you fear. You fear him who can kill both the body and soul in hell. And you will stand in judgment. You see, it is in that way we deny him. Peter says, you can't do that. Your practice is to be subjective. You are to live in peace. But you are to honor the Lord in all areas. So part of that is that you defend what is right. And we need to be a little more courageous at doing that, don't we? Yeah. Would you expect me to defend that? You would? Can I expect you to defend it? Okay. Just remember that now. It works both ways, see? You know why? Because if we take it away at the title, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? There's only one Lord. See how that works? We all work together. Peter says that the other thing we have to be concerned with, oh, I wanted you to see this. Subjection is the result of creation. Christians would be subject to God's sovereign rule in their life. See, it's only where you're subjected, it's only where you let God lead that we're blessed. And I know we understand that, okay? Are to be subject to God's sovereign rule in their life. That's our practice. Now, our premise is to be servants in verse 15. He says, it is God's will. Boy, don't miss this. It is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants to God. A lot of times when we're portrayed in a bad light, it's because those who are portraying a Christian are using their Christianity to cover up some evil. Basically, it is like the Pharisees. I can say what I want and live the way I want, and then I'm content that I'm at ease on both sides of the fence. And that's wrong. It is interesting the way God says this. To me, this is the fascinating part of Scripture because there's a principle that comes out here. You see, he says that we are to live as free men. What? We are to free people who are servants to God. We are to live as free people who are servants to God. There. Does that help you? Does that sound like an oxymoron to you? We are free to be God's servants. Think about it. It'll come to you. Now listen. God had to free us from the bondage of sin so we could be free to submit to him. Beloved, listen. An unsaved person has no choice but to live in bondage to sin. An unsaved person can understand one thing about the Bible. They need a Savior. Beyond that, don't get it. They don't understand this submission thing. You want me to give up my life. This obedience thing, you want me just to lay down and play dead. This put others first. I got to think about me. That's sin. It is only in that redemptive miracle of God that brings spiritual life back into a heart that causes the heart to say, I can see how God has promised to take care of me as an individual. His redemption promises on his part that he must care for me as his child. Therefore, I have no worries. God's going to meet my needs. So when God tells me that I need to be a servant, that I need to look at others, that I need to love them as God loves Christ, then it's okay for me to do that. Because whatever I give out, God will replace to me so that what I'm giving out does not diminish. Does that person need my sympathy? Then God will fill me with it. Does that person need my encouragement? Then God will encourage me to the point I can encourage them. Does that person need me to walk with them? God will give me the strength, the time, the direction, and the ability to the point I don't have to worry about it. You see that? Does that make sense, beloved? Okay? Now listen, God had to free us from the bondage of self so we could say to him, I will be subject to you. And in doing that, then God says, good, now I can work through you. I can make you that channel. And so God frees us from the bondage of sin. And out of that we say, because you have freed me, I choose to serve you. And then we are free from slavery to sin and sinfulness. You need to understand that biblical truth, because that eliminates the I can't do this part of my life. I can't overcome this. This is too deep rooted in me. I've heard people say, well, that's just the way I am. God understands, and that's the way it is. That sin reduced, that's taking all that and reducing it to its simplest level. When you say, I can't overcome that. I mean, that's just part of that. It's not going to change. What you are ultimately saying is, God cannot change me. You are not saying you can't. You are saying God's redemption doesn't work. Okay? And Peter is saying, you need to live as free men without using that freedom to cover up for evil. When you say, I can't, you're saying, I won't. I don't want to. I'm too attached to this. I'm not going to give it up. And so you're saying, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to do what I have to do to let God minister to me. And we fall victim to that so many times. Now, don't write that. I just want you to see this. This is not even in your notes, but it's important. Slavery is a human being who is owned as property and absolutely subject to the will of another. Okay? That's the way sin can be explained. We are Satan's property, and we are owned in totality by him to do his will. That's slavery. You have no say-so in that. Now, the second half of that's a little different. A bondservant is divested of all freedom and personal rights and completely dominated by some influence, habit, or, don't miss, person. The difference is this. A bondservant, as you have been told gazillions of times, was a slave, top part, whose master said, I am freeing you. You are no longer a slave. You have all the rights and privileges of any free person. And that slave saying, because of the way you have treated me, your goodness to me, your respect to me, and because you've given me my freedom, I freely choose to serve you. Now, my bondage to you is not bondage because I have no say-so in it. I freely choose to submit, to be subject to minister to you. You and I were slaves. Now we are bond slaves to Christ. Now that principle is taught in Scripture all through the New Testament. It is voluntary allegiance. But listen to me. Listen to me. In those areas of your life where you have not yet given God sovereign control, you are a bond slave to sin. Do you hear the danger in that? I want you to understand that. When Peter says that we silence the talk, the foolish talk of ignorant men, ignorant in that verse does not mean uninformed. Ignorant, the way Peter is using it here, means this. I have the information, I have the knowledge, and I understand it. I understand its principles, its operation, and I choose to ignore it. I choose to stand against it. How does that work? I understand what it means to be saved. I claim to be saved. I understand biblical teaching that my life, I am responsible for my sanctification. I must desire to be like Christ more all the time. But I choose not to. I like it where I am. It's easier just to stay here. I'm in. And I want you to understand the danger of that. You are saying to an almighty God who saved you, I choose to serve sin over serving you. Now, why is that so dangerous? Let's go back up to the top part for a minute. When I was a slave in sin, the Bible teaches me in 1 Corinthians and other places too that I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. So you see, I can't say I absolutely refuse. If I have gone to Christ asking for his salvation and he has saved me, and he has to if I ask him in truth and faith believing, right? Because he can't lie, he can't jerk me around. He's going to do it. So if I say that, then I am now his bond slave. I am bought. I belong to him. And we need to keep that in mind because Peter is telling us it's God's will that as a proper citizen, subjective to the laws of the land, subjective to the Lord God, putting out a proper witness before all those people, that you silence the talk of ignorant men. And he said that to us last week, right? Live your life the way you're supposed to, and that's your witness before people. And he says it again. Be a proper citizen. You silence the foolish talk of ignorant men. Why? Because when a charge is laid to you, it can't be substantiated. Beloved, do you see how all this works together? Do you see what Peter is saying here and how vital this is? And listen to me. God has brought us to a point in our ministry where this whole thing must be the way we operate. Because we have a heart for those outside us. And this is how we win them to us. And then he says, after that our procedure is to be sincere. He says that we are to show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. He gives us, he uses four words here, but the first two are the same. He says, he starts and he ends with honor. Honor is to fix the value of, to fix or set the price. Now, I'm going to do this real quick. Have you got this? Is that in your mind? Guys, you got that? Guys, listen to this. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect or honor, same word, as the weaker partner and as heirs of the gracious life with you so that nothing will hinder your prayers. We're going to talk more about that. But I want you to understand and see that God is saying, as believers, we recognize the value of other believers. We recognize the value of a human life created in the image and likeness of God. And so we are to fear. And could I just tell you quickly, please, that the word Peter uses here is phobos. It means fear, dread, terror, horror. In this verse, Peter is not telling us, now you respect God. That's what fear means. No, he's saying you fear God. As much as God loves us, as much as God is our Savior, as much as all of that, listen to me, God can take us out anytime he wants to. God can turn the blessings off just like that. God holds the protective curtain around us. He can move that however he chooses to do. Now, God doesn't use that to torment or tease us, but you need to understand, you don't want to make God mad. You don't want to dabble. And that's what Peter is saying. Now watch. He says we are to honor and love, correct? Honor and love are virtues directed toward other people. Fear is directed only toward God. Now if you put those together, there's the way of life. And what he does is pull this entire section together in these few verses. And so he says, as Christians, you live a proper lifestyle and you will silence the charges of other men. As citizens, you be subject to the government. You live a proper life. You be sincere in what you're doing. And you will put to silence the talk of foolish men because they just don't get it. But beloved, we do, don't we? And you know how you're doing as a citizen. And you say, well, I'm doing okay as a citizen here. How are you doing as a citizen of the kingdom? That's the question you want to answer. Father, apply these truths to our heart. And thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your patience. And thank you, Father, that you have told us when we submit to you, when we serve you, when we do it with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you assume the responsibility, not just for our well-being, but even for the way others treat us. Help us, Father, to take these principles into our heart, to learn them, to live properly, that through us, others might be drawn to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.